Okay, so as we move into 2018, we're going to dig in a little bit deeper into these cultures that we've been exploring, cultures of heaven's kingdom. And so we're going to just tip into something this morning that I think is a culture that we're seeking to pursue, but it's also a declaration for us over this year in terms of what is in my heart and our heart as a leadership team. But I was just musing this morning when I got up and just thinking about the day ahead and just thinking about 2018. And I don't normally go onto LinkedIn. Some of you might use LinkedIn as a social media thing. I don't normally go onto that, but a couple of messages popped up on my notifications where people were congratulating me on an anniversary. And I was like, oh, I'm not sure what anniversary it is. And I went onto LinkedIn, and LinkedIn had connected the fact that this is January 2018, is 24 years since I was appointed the pastor of Hall Baptist Church. 24 years, wow. Can you believe it? So, yeah, thanks, Nick. Yo. It was rather weak, wasn't it? But that's okay. We're British. It's like, you know, let's have a nice little bit of cricket round of applause, you know? You know what it's like. But I was thinking, so this in a sense is looking forward is 25th year as a sort of pastor, team leader, minister, whatever you want to give me as a title role. And I was thinking, gosh, you know, there's people in this room looking around who weren't born. Evie wasn't. He's like, that's a long time, 16 years ago. And some people weren't in the country 25 years ago. Kevin and Gail, you know, where were you 25 years ago? Some people weren't in Chester. You know, maybe you're somewhere else. But for Sue and I, in terms of how God has led us, we've been in Chester. This is actually our 30th year. We're going to be married 30 years in 2018. And, whoa, come on there. Yo, whoa. What do you say? Yeah, we need all the prayer we can get. We're having an extension right now, and life is a little bit chaotic. And so I've got my phone here instead of my iPad because I should have charged it last night, and we've moved everything, and it wasn't switched on. So thankfully, I backed it up to my phone as well, so I can sort of keep. That's why I keep. I'm not looking at my Twitter account, anything like that. It is just where I should be going. But so it's like, yeah, 25 years, another year ahead. I don't know what you feel, how you feel about New Year. Some people are really excited about New Year. Some people it's like, you know what, it's just another year, another day, another Sunday. But there is a sense, I hope, in me that I was thinking, yeah, of all the, you know, I can't remember every year. Different years have significance as I look back over those 25 years. But I can honestly say that inside me, in terms of my sort of praying and my hopes, I do feel very excited about 2018. I feel excited for what I feel God wants to do in me and through me. But I also feel excited about what God wants to do in you and through us together. I feel like we're on a bit of a journey, but we're on this sort of process. We've got some momentum, I think, going. People keep telling me about the people that they are connecting to, relationships that they're building, people they're spending time with, praying for. And so I want to just share a few thoughts. And some of you were here last Sunday when we were together at the Lighthouse Center. And I will pick up on one or two of those things because I want to reinforce them in the direction that we're going. So see if this works. So that was last year's verse, and we had it for 2016 and 2017. It was, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. And just because this is not like the key verse, it doesn't mean that it's still not the time. Because the verse that we've picked and felt we should go with is still got this sense of time. We're talking about a time, a now time, a moment in time. To use that word that some of you will be familiar with, it's about a kairos moment. It's about God breaking in time right now. And I feel so strongly that God is wanting to and is doing this already, breaking into our lives. and wanting to break in. This is the time for God to do this. And this is the third year of us being in missional communities in terms of the changes of structure that we introduced in October 2015. So we've been working at this for 3 years. This is into the third year of that. And by the end of this year, we will have been doing it for 3 years. And I really believe, and we believe together as a church, that God spoke to us from Isaiah. And he said this will be the sign for you. It's in the context of Hezekiah, one of the kings. He says, this year, year one, you will eat what grows by itself. The second year, year two, what springs from that. But in the third year, you will sow and reap. You will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. And we really believe that this third year is a year when we're going to see some, not just the sowing that's been going on, but also some reaping. We're going to see some vineyards being planted. We're going to see God doing some new things amongst us in terms of harvest and fruit. And that was the reason why we felt drawn to this verse particularly. Because in the midst of it, it's very easy, I think, for us to feel like, I particularly like the last phrase, if we do not give up. I can tell you, and those of you who know me well, over these 25 years, there have been not just a moment, but there's been serious time in my life where I felt like giving up. Giving up on Hull Baptist Church, giving up on what I feel like God had said to me. It just got so, I was going to swear then, pigging, I was going to say. That's not too bad, is it? Well, it was just so difficult. Life was so hard. At a personal level, in my own life, I was doing things that I didn't want to do, and stuff that I was praying for wasn't happening in the way that I thought it was going to happen as quickly as I hoped it had happened. I've had those moments where people who were really close friends, stuff happened and friendships broke down and trust got broken. I felt like giving up. And I guess if you've been a Christian more than, let's say, I don't know, a year, you've probably felt like giving up. Giving up on your faith, giving up on your hopes, giving up on your dreams. And that's why I think it's great that a verse like this is in the Bible, because it recognizes that we can feel like giving up. And let's not feel guilty about those feelings, because it's that's just what it is. But in the midst of that, part of being in a community and part of the reason why Sue and I are still in Chester is because of some of you people in this room. It's because at those moments when we felt like, oh, you know what, I can't carry on, somebody's sent a text, knocked on the door, delivered a meal, sat in a room and cried with us. Sat in a room and prayed with us. Not just on one evening, but on like 2, 3, 4, 5 evenings. Over 5, 6, 7 months, where actually, you know what, if I didn't have some of the people in this room, I wouldn't be standing here right now. And I hope that that's can become part of your testimony as you look into this. And I know that there's others not in this room who also have stood with us, prayed for us, and continue to pray with us. But I hope that in this room, as you look around, there's people that you can say, you know what, without that person, with that person, I can be encouraged, I can be strengthened, I can keep going when I feel like giving up. Have you got that? That's part of what the missional community heart is. It's about community. Community is about a place where you can belong, where it's okay not to be okay. Where you've got people around you who will just stand with you, cry with you, laugh with you, pray for you. And that can be in an organized way. It can be in a very organic way. You know, all I'm saying is make sure you've got 2 or 3 people, 4 or 5 people around you where you can keep going. And if you haven't, then come and talk to me. Come and talk to Sue and I, because we'd love to help you find and connect with those people. Because there's big-hearted people in this room who will welcome you into their lives. If you need to be welcomed in, if you're just feeling a little bit on the edge and I'm not quite connecting in that way. And I put out this tweet at the beginning of the year, and I said this: looking forward to what lies ahead in the coming year. with a desire to live life well. Who has a desire to live life well? We want to live life well, don't we? We want to do it well. And I said, there are a number of things that I want to pursue. And this is about the doing good for me. Let's not be weary in doing good. The doing good are these things. Let's pursue generosity as an individual and as a church. Let's be generous people. Not just so generous in all sorts of ways. Generous, yes, with our money, obviously. And many of you are generous with your money. Many of you give sacrificially to this church to enable us to do what we do, to enable us to employ the people that we employ as a staff team, to serve you, to serve our community, to serve together what God is doing. But let's continue to be generous with our time. You know, the most popular refrain, isn't it, when you talk to somebody, is like, hey, how are you? You know what, I'm really busy. I'm really busy. And I get a little bit annoyed in my context with church leaders when they don't turn up at meetings that we're supposed to be at together as church leaders. It could be a prayer breakfast or it could be a meeting. And I'll sort of say to myself, oh, I couldn't make that meeting because, you know, I'm really busy. And I'm like, you know what, so am I. You know, it's not about really being really busy. It's about sitting down and working out what your priorities are. And 2018, the start of a new year, is a good opportunity to work out what are your priorities. Where does Hull Baptist Church, the communities that you connect to, the people that you are friends with, the organic stuff, the projects, where does that fit into your priorities? Because if you don't prioritize things, life is busy and the things that are your priorities will get squeezed out. That's my testimony of life. The things that if I don't prioritize things, then they won't get done. If I don't prioritize my time with God, which is probably my most important time, then I know that the busyness of my life will squeeze out those moments that I spend time with God. Prioritize my time with my wife, with Sue and my family, spending time with those people who are important to me. And it's a challenge, isn't it? We're all in this together, so I don't want to put guilt on people, but just take time to work out how you can continue to be generous with your time. Secondly, pursue integrity. Integrity for me basically is what you see is what you get. So how I am standing right here in front of you, hopefully this is what I am when I'm standing in front of you on my own or, and that one of my challenges, and I'll be, you know, Sue and I hopefully are honest enough and know you well enough that that's one of the challenges Sue puts out to me. It's like, you know what, Andy, you're quite good at standing in front of people and saying things, but you don't perhaps do that as well one-on-one. And I have to hear that. We have to hear those moments where we have to have integrity. We don't want to wear masks, do we? And say, this is what I'm like over here. Oh, yeah, how are you? Well, yeah, I'm great, actually. But over here, I'm really struggling and I'm not being honest about it. Again, that's why you need, you know, we need those people around us, two or three, four or five people, where we can be really honest. We don't have to share our heart with everybody. We don't have to live with our hearts on our sleeves in that sense. But we do need to have integrity. Integrity is so important. Pursue who you are. What you see is what you get. Pursue faith. I want to be in an environment, and I want to create an environment where we are believing for the impossible. So where there's those situations that seem impossible, those situations where we really do need a miracle, I want to generate faith. I don't want to get into the British psyche, which is dominated by cynicism. Okay? I don't want us to be a cynical church. And after 25 years of leading a church, I could be the most cynical person amongst you. Because you know what? I've seen it all. I probably haven't, actually, so let's be honest. But I've seen a lot. I've seen people make choices like, I thought, how on earth are you making that choice? Why have you left your wife? Why have you made that? People are people, and people make, we all make daft choices at times. But I don't want to get cynical in that. I don't want to get cynical, particularly in my relationship with God. And I know some of us struggle with that. Many of us have been Christians for a number of years. And I was reading an article, particularly about people in their 50s who've been Christians for at least 20 years. And how to keep your faith alive when you've been around church for 20 or 30 years. How is that possible? Let's be honest. Come on, church can be the most complicated place to belong because we have all these high hopes and high expectations of God and one another, and people are people. And if you spend any time with people, and if you spend any time with me, I'm going to let you down. But I don't want to become cynical. I want to create an environment of faith, of hope, of always looking. Now, I am, in personality, thank God, a half-full glass person. That's my personality, and I thank God for that, you know, because I generally look at things from a half-full point of view. But we do need to keep encouraging one another. And for some of us where, you know, the glass is half empty, then I'm not saying don't, you know, we've got to be honest with each other, but find people around you will help you fill your glass. Or actually, we'll just stay with you while the glass is half empty. Because we just need to keep encouraging faith. A faith in a God, in the words of that song, I will trust, or I will rest in your promises, my confidence is in your faithfulness, or the other way around, I don't know. But it's like, it's our faith is in God, isn't it? At the end of the day, it's not in one another, it's in God. I want to pursue compassion. And I think this is an interesting one because, I, after 25 years of leading the church, I can be a little bit compassion fatigued. And I think all of us can, actually, if we watch the news or we look at society and we look at all the needs that are out there and we're bombarded by need that draws on us and we can get really compassionate fatigued. How can we keep responding? But we do need to keep our hearts soft. I think having a soft heart enables compassion to flow. Once your heart begins to get a little bit hard, then we cut ourselves off, we block ourselves off. And again, I hope, and I don't know, others will perhaps be able to say this is true or not, I hope that I've still got high levels of compassion in me 25 years on as well as in my first year of leading this church. Compassion. And compassion is important, isn't it? Because compassion's more than just sympathy or empathy. I think for me, compassion is actually about going to do something. You know, compassion leads to is a step on from concern. I can be concerned about something, but compassion actually makes me do something or encourages me to do something with how I feel. And again, just be open in 2018. Where does God want you to put or pursue that sort of compassion? Where's your outlet for compassion? Locally, nationally, globally. You can't do everything, and we can't do everything as a church, but there are some things that we can do well. And then the final thing that I want to keep pursuing is fun. It's fun. One of the core values of Missional Communities is fun. And again, it's so easy for that to sort of just to dissipate, isn't it? Because life can get a bit intense and life can be, even in the Christian life, even with like 2018, right? What are your five goals for 2018? It's like, it said, turn your mobile phone off when you come to church. But let's have some fun together. That's why, you know, we publicise something like the Big Church Day Out. Because it's like, let's just go and have a fun day out, shall we? As a group of friends. Sue's refrain to me over a number of years in our marriage is, Andy, can we have some more fun? That might give you an insight into our marriage, I don't know. because life can get a bit intense. Like, you know, leading a church, trying to lead people, we're always dealing with stuff. How do we have fun? How do we build fun into our lives? I've been so encouraged by how many people have got excited, maybe even a little bit more excited than I have, about the fact that we're having an extension soon on our house. Like, people have been so excited about, yay, been living in this house 25 years, been talking about it for 15. Now is the time for an extension. And God has been so good in the way that he's provided for us and the way that the money has been available for in various ways, not least an endowment that got matured. But also some people have given us some money. People in this room have given us money to invest in our extension. What's that about? Thank you. So, am I grumpy? Yeah, I am actually. Don't sit with me while I'm watching the news. I'm a grumpy old man. So, these are pursuing good. These are the things that are doing good. So, I've gone on a little bit there because I wasn't going to say any of that till I just stood up. So, but I was thinking about it. I had another thing. I'm not going to show you these things, but we'll just, will they go through? Can we go to the next one? There we go. 2018, we talked about this last time. We want to fit to link into hope. And this is called Rhythms of Mission. And we're going to use this. This is a church. This is just to stimulate us, to encourage us. And I want to mention this one particularly. So what happened there? Who touched it? That's it. So who could tell me what these symbols mean? What does the heart mean? God loves us. What does the cross mean? You're not quite sure? I have sinned. Hey, Peter could come and model it. He's got it. He's got the band. What does the cross mean? Jesus died. And then what does the question mark mean? Like, what am I going to do about it? What's my decision? And we're going to use this 4 points as a church. We're going to resource you with these bands that Peter is so modeling so lovingly on his wrist. So we've put an order in even this week. I woke up on Wednesday morning and on my Twitter, the 4 points said, if you order the pack today, you get 25% off. And I did it, and we've got 25% off, Sam. So, and we'll get 2,000 tracks personalized with our name and church on. We'll get a whole load of those wristbands. We'll get the stickers that you can put in your car or in your window. And for those of you who are really keen, you can get these big stickers that you can put on the side of your doors of your car with the four symbols. And drive around Chester, and people go, ooh, what does that mean? So hopefully we won't be the only church doing this in Chester, because we've sent it out to all the churches, so there might be a little momentum built. Liverpool, Merseyside are going to do this as well. So you might see these on the sides of taxis and on the side of buses. I knew if I say that, somebody's going to laugh. So that's why I was like, what's the word I could use? But anyway, we'll say it. I come from Stoke and I'm proud, even though we are not doing too well at football at the moment. Anyway, so this is another initiative, another logo that you'll see quite a lot this year. This is about prayer. This is about Thy Kingdom Come. This is a prayer initiative that we're going to link into, and we will continue to do this. And I want to encourage you, pledge to pray this year. If there's one thing that you could do this year that you haven't done before, is pray the Lord's Prayer on a regular basis. If you don't pray anything else, I won't really care this year. But if you pray the Lord's Prayer on a regular basis and go through it and just take some time, pledge to pray the Lord's Prayer. Last week, we had loads of post-its where people put down the names of five people. Pray for five people that you are going to pray for in 2018 to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. If you weren't around, if you weren't able to do that, we've got some more here that we'd encourage you to write five that you leave and stick on the piece of paper and five that you take away, the same five. So you have someone, something for your records. We are typing all those up, and over the year we'll put them up in different places and pray for these people. Over 150 individuals already on our list of people that we're praying for to have an encounter with Jesus Christ in 2018. Hey, this is exciting. This is about Europe. Sam, you're going to tell us a little bit at this stage of Europe right now. Because this connects into this. This is a vision to see Europe saved. So this is a bit of a bigger picture, but it also connects really strongly with us. And Sam will share a bit about what's in his heart around this.
Thanks. I'm going to get my iPhone out as well. Just put that over there. They're exactly the same. Oh, sorry. Are you looking at me? Not that anymore. What are we doing? What's it doing? How long do I have? Where's he gone? All right. We'll just go until he comes out. Someone lock the door. I think he gave me about 10 minutes to share what God is doing and what is on my heart. There's a lot that I will not be able to get out. So I just want to pray right now that Father God, that the Holy Spirit would give to your hearts all the things that he's doing right now that I won't be able to say because there's so much. Just receive that and know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart right now about Europe. So Europe-wise is probably the easiest place to start. God is going to bring the biggest revival of his presence. There's going to be an outpouring of his presence that is unprecedented, that is bigger than anything anyone has ever seen. What? The reason, I don't know where I come into it. Let me actually read my notes and then it'll be clearer. I just want to, when I'm speaking about this, I want you to be conscious as well, just of anything like a quickening in your spirit or anything like heat or anything that you recognize. I don't want you to just dismiss it because the Holy Spirit moves super subtly for anyone that's willing to listen and recognize that. The reason I want to tell you guys is because it's not about me. It's not about a certain like leader like Billy Graham. Billy Graham, an incredible man who came and did big stadium events to win people to Christ. It's not going to be the largest outpouring of God's Spirit we've ever seen because of one person. It's going to be because everybody and so many people are going to be doing it in their day-to-day, in big, on large scales, on small scales. That's why it's going to be so significant. The fun bit for me, let me just pause for a minute. Yeah, so in February, can you give me like, when you say like, you got like 2 minutes left, because I want to do something at the end. God in February last year gave me a vision. When I was just hanging out with God, I was worshiping him. I was just praying in my living room. I jump about a little bit as well, make sure the blinds are closed. But while I was doing that, God just showed me this outpouring that he's doing. And I was like, wow. And some of the stuff that he showed me, the things that are going to happen, I was just blown away. And I just kept it to myself because speaking out that kind of thing is a little bit crazy. I told Andy and a couple other people, and he just gave me a vision of an outpouring. That what really struck me was that he wants to do it for his people. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be something that he is doing for us, which is amazing. And the reason he was telling me is because I've just, for the last 4 years, just cried out to God for something. And he's like, okay, do this. And I'm super excited about it. Outpouring of his Spirit. So in February, that was that. And then I told Andy, and it's specifically about doing a large stadium gathering, which for you guys, right now hearing it for the first time is probably like me hearing it for the first time and being a little bit like, like, A, how do you do it? B, how do you do it? And three, how do you do it? So, but it's exciting. And so I was just praying and I'm like, okay, God, I'm in. Like, I'll do whatever you want me to do. So if it's to put on a stadium event, I'm in. Like, let's go, let's do this. And then I spoke to Andy in like July. I went out to Awakening Europe, which is kind of a little bit like the harvest that they're talking about, a million souls, the billion soul harvest. This is something that the world over, leaders are coming out, prophetic people from out in America, from Africa. All these guys are talking about Europe and the UK. We are in Europe. I know that's super like, but we are. And so, yeah, I just want to, where was I though? So Andy, so I went out to Prague, to Awakening Europe. There was about 40,000 of us in a stadium worshiping God, seeing the craziest healings I've ever seen. I was super skeptical at the start. By the end of it, I could not be skeptical because what was happening. And it was really exciting. They go out onto the streets. They just tell people about Jesus, their stories. Crazy stories, come and speak to me and I'll tell you loads of stories about it. But that's Awakening Europe. They're doing it every year in a different place. The next one is in the Baltic region. There's loads of stuff. It's incredible. Look it up, Awakening Europe. But in July-ish, after I came back from that stadium event, Andy showed me something on Facebook. And it was the leader of Awakening Europe, which is the stadium event that I went to, saying he wants to put on a school for anyone that wants, that God has said to put on a stadium event but has no idea how to do it. And I was like, great, that's what I need. But there's only 150 spots worldwide, so it's pretty limited, and it's happening in Germany. Well, I, along with Dave Tonks from Northgate and a few people in Liverpool and then a couple in London, have been invited to join Awakening Europe in Germany for a school to put on stadium events to bring an outpouring that no one has ever seen before. Wow. This is exciting. 2 minutes, is that what you said? Cool. It's going to take me 2 minutes to put my passcode in. Yeah, cool. It's unbelievable. I'll just say, if you want to come and speak to me, I should write all this down and send it out to you. But it's incredible. So that happened. There's basically, if I were to pick the top 10 people in the world to be involved with, to put on stadium events, God has put me in touch with 3 of them. Like, that does not happen. Like, it does not, one of them doesn't happen. So it's incredible. So what I want to do, because this is not me, this is you. There is loads of stuff that I would love to say. But what I want to do is, anyone that is just stirred by this, anyone that is like, okay, I'm in. Like, whatever I can do, God, I'm in. I need you to pray for me. It's going to be super taxing on finances, on my family. I'm going to be out there for a week. That's not easy on Katie. So prayers are really, really, really appreciated. But what I want you to do, if you're excited, I want you to stand up. I need you to stand up. If no one stands up, I'm going to not let Andy move until he gets them. Thank you. Because this is it. This is it, all right? There's no God is going to do this next year. He's doing it right now. An unprecedented outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon us, for us. That's going to look crazy. If you have depression, that's going to go, because depression cannot be around when the revival comes, when revival is here now. But when the outpouring of God's Spirit comes, depression is gone. It is gone. Cancer is gone. So anyone that has cancer, rejoice, because this is the time when you will see miracles, and more miracles than we have ever seen before. It is exciting. It's happening now. I don't watch the news. I don't have time. I don't like the news. I watch the news of what God is doing in the world. If there is news significant enough for me to know about it, someone will tell me. That's what I think. But yeah, Father, everyone just put your hands up. That's what I, oh, Jesus. Just Holy Spirit, just move in these people right now. Stir their hearts more than you've ever stirred them before. God, would you give them visions as they dream at night? Would you get them as they sleep, Father God? Would you get them as they wake up? Would you get them as they pray in the mornings, Father? Would you stir their spirits right now? Just stir them to know that you are good, God, and that you are bringing an unprecedented revival to our shores, Jesus. So Holy Spirit, just overwhelm people right now and give them passion to do what they're doing, but on another level, because that is what you're doing, God. Thank you, Jesus.
I'd just like to take your seat for a minute. Hope you just caught a little bit of Sam's heart. We have really interesting leadership team meetings when Sam just goes like that because you know God's doing something. What he didn't mention, what really excites me, is back in May 2016 when Andy and I went to Bethel, Paul Manwaring, who's very involved in the awakening thing that's going on, came from the front of the stage to the back of the auditorium and prophesied over Andy that he would speak in stadiums. And I'm standing there going... Anyway, so that obviously Sam didn't know that, and we haven't shared that with anybody, so it's quite exciting, but we have no idea what God's going to do next, so it's great. But in the midst of all of this, as Sam has just mentioned, we have a heart and a vision to bring healing, wholeness, and freedom. And to do that, we need to pray. We need to press into God. So at the start of this year, on Monday the 29th of January, we're opening up HBC all day so that anyone can just come and be quiet and pray. Then in February, we're having a 24 hours for one day from Friday night to Saturday night of prayer specifically for God to release healing, wholeness and freedom. And this is all part of the same picture. It's part of God bringing a revival to the UK. And we really would like HBC to be involved in that. We're very privileged that we have Debbie as Healing Rooms Director in HBC. And we have a great number of volunteers here. But we need to see God do more. We need to press in to see God do more. And to do that, we've got to pray. So I just want to encourage you. One of the things about praying is also sharing the testimonies of what God does. And if you remember, we started a testimony book back in 2013. And it's only about a third full. And the last testimony that was written in it was Sam in March 2017. So it's on the table with a pot of pens this morning. And I would like to see everybody write in it something that God did for you in 2016. 2017. Don't really care. Whatever God has done in your life that you want to share with others, because sharing that testimony, it says in Revelation, there's the testimony proclaims that Jesus will come again. Okay? That he will do it again. That's what it's about. Yeah? So we'll just leave that with you. I'm just going to pray to finish. Perhaps the worship team would like to come back, wherever you are. And let's not forget, God has really spoken about lots of things this morning. Personal words, Europe words, big words, HBC words. And if there's anything that you want to make a response to, now's the time to do that. Either praying with somebody by you, or going to the people who shared the words, or coming to us at the front, whatever you feel comfortable with. But don't let the moment go. Because that moment might be when you encounter God afresh and something new gets deposited. So can I just invite you to stand? And I'm going to pray to finish the service. And the worship team will just carry on praying. So Father, thank you for all that we have heard this morning. Thank you for what you are going to do through us, a little group of your kids in HBC in 2018. Thank you for what you're going to do through us and in us, not just into Chester, but beyond Chester and into Europe. And Father, we pray that you would help us all to play our part, whatever that part may be, to see your glory and to see your kingdom come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
One thing remains.